This is Mary Lewis at A Tiny Homestead, the podcast comprised entirely of conversations with homesteaders, cottage food producers, and crafters. Today I'm talking with Suzanne at North County Marketplace. Good morning, Suzanne. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Mary Lewis?
I'm great. Tell me about you and North County Marketplace.
Yeah. So first and foremost, I'm a wife and mother to 8 children.
Oh my.
And then I actually have... I don't know. I shouldn't say this probably. I haven't actually formally made the announcement, so I will right now, but I'm actually pregnant with another as well.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I'm like 7 weeks pregnant right now. So I'm at the very nauseous stage.
Oh, no. And you need to make sure you let people know before this podcast gets released.
I will do that for sure. I'm getting there. I'm easing into it. It's a lot of kids. So it's so much fun though. So much fun. So yeah, I'm wife to Michael Quinlan. And then I have 8 coming soon, eventually 9 children. And I first started, I homeschool my children. And in homeschooling, I think it was actually during, it might have been during COVID or right before COVID, I started a blog, Bluefield Kitchen. And that's my main website, where I started documenting a lot of recipes, most of which come from my father. So my dad is 100% Italian, and he is very well known in our area for his ability to cook. He is just amazing at it, but nobody, he doesn't follow recipes. So he just throws a dash of this, a little bit of that. And so I basically, a lot of the recipes, I follow him around in the kitchen. And I'm like, Dad, how much was that? He's like, oh, it was probably like a tablespoon. And I'm like trying to measure as he's doing things. But it's so interesting, intriguing. It's so enjoyable to watch him in his element and just throwing this and that in. So I started out with Bluefield Kitchen as a blog and documenting his recipes, which then kind of shifted into some of mine as well. Because some of his recipes are just... occasion type things like a Mardi Gras feast or Saint. One of the most popular posts I have is my San Giuseppe Saint Joseph's Day pasta with sardines, which is a very Italian feast celebrating day. And so, but those aren't ones that you eat every day, and they don't always have the most wholesome ingredients either. So I started kind of documenting my own. And people started asking me questions about, I do mill my own flour, I make sourdough bread, I get raw milk from a farmer, and people started asking me where I was getting my stuff from. Now, I live outside of St. Louis, but still in a city, so we have very little, you know, property, and we're not living the homesteading life that you typically think, where you've got acreage and animals. I think you can only have at most, I think, 2 chickens, even in the city limits that I live in. So people want these farm products, and people do want that lifestyle. And I think people are recognizing the need for more wholesome food, but I don't think everybody knows, especially within the city limits, how to go get that. Mm-hmm. There's so many popular bloggers about what they do. And I know Azure Standards, like there's plenty of places you can get it if you're ordering online, but I really hone in on the local farms. So, a lot of people were asking where I was getting things from. And so I started North County Marketplace, and North County Marketplace is where I bring the farm to you. So people become members and they order food online from various different farmers that I've created relationships with. And I meet up with farmers throughout the week and get farm products to bring back to the local people in North County.
That is awesome. Okay, now I understand. That's what I was asking you before I hit the record button, is what is it you do? And I'm really glad that you waited till now to actually hone it down to here, because that's perfect. What a great idea.
Yeah, you know, it just kept spiraling, actually. It's a little out of control at this point, which I love, because people are truly interested in buying local, but trying to create a relationship with the chicken farmer, the one that lays the eggs versus the one that has the chickens versus the one that has the ground beef versus the milk. And it's just, there's so many people. And I mean, it's not like I met these people overnight. I've been meeting in a park. I met in a parking lot for years to get, you know, raw milk from a farmer. So, and I have a great relationship with him now. So it's been a fun journey. It has been, for sure.
So you're the produce and dairy dealer.
I am, you know, and it's kind of funny because I do have people come to my house Thursday nights, one night of the week. And then on Fridays, I meet in a parking lot. So it's kind of funny to meet in a parking lot. And I have cooler bags that we just swap out every week with whatever they ordered in it. So it's kind of funny to be like in a parking lot with cooler bags, you know, sneaking them off to cars. But I mean, not really sneaking, but, you know.
Clandestine meetups. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So. We got one of my favorite cats in a parking lot. She was a little tiny kitten. She's probably not even 6 weeks old. And I thought she was 8 weeks old, but it doesn't matter. And she fit in the palm of my hand and brought her home. And we had a big old tomcat, you know, fixed house cat. And I put her on the floor and she marched her little tiny body right up to him, tail straight up, looked him in the face and was like, "Hello, I am here."
Oh.
And he hissed at her and she didn't even shy away. She was just like, "Oh, well, we'll talk later." And she walked off. I was like, "Oh, you are going to rule the house."
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah. Good things happen in parking lots. Bad things happen in parking lots too. So
that's great. So you live on a homestead with acres though, right?
3.1 acres. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Dream. We went from a 10th of an acre lot with 850 or 900 square foot living space house and a 4-car garage.
Wow.
don't know why they did that. My husband bought the house before I knew him. Mm-hmm. Or I knew him, but we were not together. And yeah, whoever had owned the house had put up a 4-car garage on a 10th of an acre lot. I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
They liked cars.
Yeah. So I think the guy might have been a mechanic and that would make sense, but I don't know for sure. And we had like veggie gardens in between the house and the garage, what little yard we had. And we had flowers and we had a huge rhubarb bed that had been there for years.
Oh, wow.
And then we had 4 kids in that little tiny house.
Oh, yeah. That's wonderful. I love small spaces and lots of people. We do the same.
Yep. And 3 boys shared one room and my daughter had the small bedroom. And then she moved out and the oldest boy moved into the small bedroom. And then he moved out and then the next boy moved into the small bedroom. So by the time we only had 2 boys, they each had their own room.
Oh, goodness. The spoiled ones, huh?
Yes.
Mama's babies.
Yes.
Yes. I expect that to happen for us one day too. The older kids are going to be so jealous on what the little kids get to have versus what they had.
Well, the thing that really changed is that the less mouths to feed, the more expendable income there was. And
right.
So we were able to do more for the youngest than we ever could do for the oldest. And
right.
My daughter's the oldest. And sometimes she's like, it must be nice being the youngest.
Yep.
She says this to me, and I'm the oldest of 3. And I'm like, I'm not the youngest. And she's like, no, my littlest brother is the youngest. And he seems to get things pretty easily. And I'm like, yes, because there's more money without raising 4 kids.
Especially, you know, as you get older, jobs are, you know, a little bit better as well after you gain experience.
Yeah. And she would have hated living here. She is very much a city girl. Even though she grew up in a little tiny town.
Yes.
And so she would not be happy being the youngest being here because it would be boring for her.
Yeah.
But either way, we ended up moving 3.5 years ago to 3.1 acres because that had been our plan for at least 15 years to get out of the little tiny town. And it's been wonderful. Having a huge garden and being able to have, I think we have 18 or 19 chickens now versus our 4 or 5 that we had.
Wow.
So it's been really fun being able to kind of stretch out, and we could never have a dog in town because we tried it once and the dog would bark whenever we put him in its kennel and had to leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know he was barking because we weren't there. And my neighbor was like, "Did you know that Jake barks the entire time that you're gone?" I was like, no, I did not. And we rehomed Jake. He was a lovely, lovely dog, but it just was not working out. And he went somewhere else, and that's fine.
I've tried having dogs now twice, and I am a big believer that animals are supposed to be outside. And I'm sure I didn't grow up with animals, and I love animals. I just like them outside. And we live in the Midwest, so freezing temperatures, you can't really leave certain dogs that are meant to be in the home outside anyway. So I tried, but a small house with lots of people and a dog was not my cup of tea for sure. So
Yeah, it's really hard when they're little too, when they're little dogs, like whether they're
yes.
puppies or whether they're just a small breed, because you will trip over them or you will step
Yes.
on them.
That has definitely happened in my household time or two.
Yeah. So now we have Maggie, the mini Australian Shepherd, who is 3 and a half or almost 3 and a half. And it's been the most wonderful thing I've ever experienced with a pet because she's ours. We raised her from a day shy of 8 weeks old. So it's been really fun. She's our fifth baby and she's easier than a baby. So that's great.
That's so funny. I always say to my husband, I'll have another baby before I have a dog again.
Yeah,
I think I
no.
got familiar with having babies more so than having animals. So
Yeah, and children are wonderful, but I am 54 years old. I am physically not capable of having a baby anymore, and the idea of being up at night, I nope.
yeah, that I'm not, I'm not really looking forward to that stage all over again, but it goes by quickly.
Yeah, as I said on a interview the other day, my youngest did not sleep through the night until he went to kindergarten, and
Oh, that's a
that was
long time.
insanity. I was a walking zombie for years and it
I
was really,
bet.
really hard. And I was 32 when I had him and it
Yeah.
was great because I knew who I was and I knew the game of raising kids. I already had raised
Right.
two that I birthed and I had a stepchild and I knew what to do. However, the energy that I had when I was 20 when my daughter was born and 26 or
Right.
27 when my first son was born, I didn't
Yes.
have that at 32, so it was a lot.
That is definitely a challenge for sure. I will say getting up and being able to be playful and upbeat and happy when I was younger after having children versus, the more recent ones is definitely a challenge. I would have to agree with that.
Yeah, the youngest would
You
wait.
definitely don't. It takes a couple days to recoup from lack of sleep
Yes,
from one night.
absolutely. My youngest used to wake up between 1 and 2, and I would be like, "Are you hungry? Are you wet? Are you uncomfortable?" And then I realized he was just awake and wanted to play. And
Oh,
I tried
that's the
so hard
worst.
to put him back to bed. And no, he would lay in his playpen or his crib or whatever he was sleeping in and just like make noises and giggle for 2 hours. And after a week or so that I was like, never mind, I'm not sleeping anyway. I'm just gonna get up and play with him.
Yeah.
And he would
He'll lose
eventually.
out on he'll get rid of that energy a lot faster if you
Yeah.
just play with him.
Yeah, and he would eventually go back to sleep about 3:30, and then I'd
Ooh.
have to be up at 6 to get the kids up to get them moving towards school. And I was just like, I'm going to die. This is not good. But I survived it. He survived it. The other three kids survived it.
You
My
know, we
husband
always
survived
do.
it. So it's fine. All
For
right.
sure.
So tell me about like you blog about the places that you get things from and then people
No, so I
contact
haven't done
you.
that yet. I haven't done that yet. I do just do it on Facebook. I just kind of I for a while was having like a featured Friday where I was putting which farmers we were getting from and stuff like that. So I'll probably have to come back to that again. Social media is not does not come easy to me. But luckily North County and where I live, Ferguson Florissant area is a very small. I mean, it's large, but it feels like such a small community. Everybody knows everybody. So by word of mouth, I have probably more members than I could really handle right now anyways. But hopefully one day we'll have a storefront. Because I think it's more than just food. items that I would love for people to really get their hands on. So North County is, the northern part of St. Louis, and we are, I want to say, the black sheep. I feel like we are like on our own little island, and we get forgotten about. We don't get the farm fresh products. We don't get the stuff that I feel like other towns around here get. Uh-huh. And I'd love to have a little shop that has more wholesome products that you're putting in your body and on your body, that don't have such terrible ingredients in them. So hopefully one day there will be a storefront. But until then, I don't feature probably the farmers enough for people to get to know them. But I don't know. We will be doing farm tours coming up, for people to come visit on the farms and kind of check them out themselves as well, because I think that's important to know your farmer, know where your farmer, what your farmer is doing, so that they can. I want transparency all the time to know what the farmers are doing, what they're doing with their animals, and believe in pasture raised and grass fed to grass finished and all that. So I want people to actually see that in person, so it's not just through me. They can learn on their own as well.
Okay, so how are people finding out through you what they can get is what I'm getting at. Do you have like a listing or something?
So my website is is for members only to get on, because I couldn't really figure out a way to do that. I do feature products on there. People just ask. Most people around here, I guess, word of mouth. So the majority of the members just pass on to other people. Here's where I'm getting my eggs. Here's where I'm getting this. Do you want to become a member too?
Okay.
It just keeps getting passed around like that. But on my website, when you do log in, and if people ever want to see it, I can give them access to log in too, to then see the products. I do have to have a featured page. I'm not great with websites, so I'm working on that though. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a page to just kind of list out and see all the products, because I have close to 100 products that I get from various farmers each week.
It's such a great idea. There's a guy that I interviewed, I don't know when, weeks ago, and his podcast will be out tomorrow. And he has a thing called Homegrown Collective. And he's basically, I don't know if he's building it or if he has people who are building a website that is a directory for farmers who are growing produce so that they can be listed so people can find them. Yeah. And he's in North Carolina. And then my state has a directory. It's called Minnesota Grown. I think it's minnesotagrown.org or .com. I can't remember which one. And it is literally a directory, and you pay $20 a year to be listed on the directory. And then if you want to, maybe I'm doing this wrong, I think it's $20 to have access to like labeling, like Minnesota Grown stickers or bags or whatever, because it's sort of a cachet or a clout to be part of it. It's through the state. And then if you pay $60 a year, you're in their directory where people can find you. And I may have this backwards, but either way, it's a directory of growers, and now they're adding in makers, like they added soap and candles this past year, I think. And it's fantastic, because we sell at farmers markets, so we're really happy to have the...
What do you guys sell? What do you sell?
We sell the usual suspects.
Eggs.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Eggs. the usual suspects for veggies, you know, tomatoes, cucumbers, leafy greens, green beans, squash. I don't know. All the things that my husband grows. And then we also sell cold processed lye soap. We sell candles. We sell lip balms that we make. There's something else. Wax melts, because wax melts are great because they don't actually need a flame to smell.
Right.
So that's good. And I make granola, and we sell granola because people love granola.
I sell granola along with my bread as well. Yeah. It's too. That's so funny. People do love it. It is so good.
Yeah, I love granola. It is so easy. I basically make, the enamel coated pans that are old fashioned that you put in the oven to roast with. I have a really big one, so I do a double batch of granola in it, and then I throw it into one of those plastic is bad, but plastic containers with the lid with the open spout thingy that you can open.
Oh yeah.
And that goes in the
Cereal.
pantry. Goes in the pantry, and every morning after I do podcasts, I go have a bowl of granola with raisins, and I am fed for the next 6 hours. So,
Yes.
but
Yeah,
granola,
agreed.
and I keep saying that we're going to sell bread maybe this year at the farmers market
Yes.
and maybe some cookies. However, I do not know that my husband is going to have time to make bread, and he's the bread baker. He's really good at
Okay.
it.
What kind of bread does he make? Like sourdough
Oh,
or
he
just.
no. Nope, he doesn't make sourdough because neither one of us think we'll be very good at keeping up with feeding the sourdough starter.
I wasn't for a long time. It does take a routine, which I'm not always great at. So it did take a routine, which I'm finally in to keep
Yeah,
it alive.
and I'm not a fan of sourdough, so we don't make it
Oh,
here. My son
great.
doesn't love it either, so we're like, eh, sourdough, whatever. But I know other people love it. He makes an herbed white bread that is amazing.
Oh, okay.
He makes a honey oat bread
Oh, that's
that
delicious.
is one of the best things I've ever tasted, and it makes great toast. It makes great French toast. And he every Christmas he makes Parker House rolls, which are the real like fluffy, flaky dinner rolls. And so I keep telling him, I said, you should make Parker House rolls during Easter and Thanksgiving and Christmas,
Oh,
and you should be
yeah.
selling them then because that's when people want them. And he's
Just
like,
do pop-ups. Yeah, for
yeah.
sure. People right around the
So,
holidays love that. So I
yeah.
do sell dinner rolls, sourdough dinner rolls, sourdough sandwich loaves, and then I like to call the rustic loaf because I'm not a perfectionist. So I follow a lot of sourdough people and a lot of groups that I'm in. It's so funny to watch how people will break open their bread and say, "Tell me what's wrong with my crust," or like, "It looks like it wasn't fermented long enough," this or that. And they are very expert. There are so many experts, and I will announce it till the end of, I don't care. I am no expert, but it tastes so good and people love it and people buy it. So you can definitely overcomplicate sourdough, in my opinion, and I don't overcomplicate it. So I call it the rustic loaf because it is not the perfectionist's loaf.
No, it's the old-fashioned homesteader's loaf.
Yeah,
Congratulations, you did it right.
exactly. Exactly.
I'm going to share a story from Sunday. We had friends over and I made lasagna, and the last five lasagnas I've made in the last 2 years have fallen apart when I have lifted the pieces out of the pan. And I had terrible performance anxiety about this lasagna because I have never made it for these friends. And I was like, watch, I'm going to make it. I'm going to scoop it out. I'm just going to fall out open on the plate. And they were watching me after my husband cut the lasagna, take the spatula to try to lift it out. And my friend was like, you look kind of shaky. And I was like, it's gonna fall apart. I want it to be pretty. And I lifted it out and it held together. I was like, yes. But it wouldn't have mattered. It would have been
It would have
yummy no
tasted
matter
just as
what.
fine. Yeah, it would have tasted just as great.
Yeah, and
We
it's always
live in a very Instagram, Pinterest world where everything has to look perfect, and that's not the world I live
well, I'm so
in.
mad because I did not take a picture of any of it, and I meant to. I was like, that would
See,
have
that
been
would have
so
been
great.
great for your Instagram account too.
But no, we were hungry, we ate, and it was delicious. So I understand about perfectionism versus not perfectionism, because honestly, as long as you did the recipe the way it said to, or you made it the way it was supposed to be made, it's gonna taste good whether
It's
it's
gonna
pretty or
taste
not.
good. Yep.
So,
That's how I live.
absolutely. And perfectionism is the death of experimentation. If
Yes.
you never try anything, you're never gonna know how it would turn out.
Right. And it makes the experience it just so much better when I don't have to, I'm not looking to make everything absolutely perfect. I'm making it to use wholesome ingredients for my family so that we can be healthy. It's not so that it looks perfect.
Right. Yeah. And I was really proud of the lasagna because it was from 2 quarts of our canned tomatoes from 2022.
Oh, that's even more exciting.
Well, canned tomato sauce, not tomatoes.
Right, right.
And some of our dried herbs from our garden and one of our eggs from our chickens. So I was like, hey, this is almost everything we do.
Yes. That was awesome.
That was really awesome. Yeah. It's really funny that you asked me what we grow because typically with my podcast episodes, I do all the questions. I was like,
oh, sorry.
No, who's going to be the first one who actually asks me what I do? Because I keep thinking I need to do a podcast of just me being like, hi, this is me. This is what we do, blah, blah, blah.
I'm going to interview you one day.
You should. We should do that. We should do that. That would be fun. But I haven't done this particular episode of just about us here because I don't want to hear myself talk for 20 minutes. You know, it's way more fun to ask questions and hear other people talk.
Well, I feel like right now, I guess I don't realize I'm on a podcast episode and it feels like we're just hanging out and talking. So that's good.
Yeah. And we are. However, if I do one that's just me saying, hi, this is me, this is what we do.
Oh, yeah. No, you need someone to ask you questions.
It would be more fun.
Yeah, I'll ask you questions. I'll come back.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do that. We should do that like in a month. And I'll be like, the episode will be all about me.
I love it.
Featuring Suzanne Quinlan.
There you go.
It'll be great. We should do that. I'm going to hold you to it because I need somebody to do that.
I would love to.
Okay, cool. Okay, what else can I ask you? I'm so blown away by what you're doing because it's so cool.
Well, I think you actually found me because I'm putting out there kind of a new product line that I'm just trying to do each month. And this is just as much for me as it is for anyone else in my local community called the Rustic Homesteader. Is that how you found me?
I have no idea.
Okay. I thought maybe that was it.
Yep, I'm going to give you a longish short answer. I have been looking for people to interview, and Facebook is a wonderful tool because Facebook feeds you more of what you're looking for.
Okay.
And so I keep getting fed all these different people who are doing things that I would be interested in. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's how I found you because I think it was just one that just got fed into my feed.
And I think it was through the Rustic Homesteader. So I'm doing just a product a month. And it's just as much, like I said, for myself as for anyone else. So like last month I did like a cleaning set. So it was all products that were clean ingredients, like plant therapy. And let me think, what all did I even have in it? They're just, it wasn't Mama Suds. It was...
This is ringing a bell, yes.
Yeah, so I just was doing all of these cleaning products to kind of reset myself personally. And if anyone wants to come along on the journey, that's awesome. So if you guys all want to, you know, locally to join in on getting these, so I'm just starting with cleaning to start off the year, you know, right. Mm-hmm. And then this next month, the products are going to be geared towards gardening. So while we live in the city, I have 4 raised garden beds in my backyard. Every Mother's Day, my husband adds another one. So I'm not sure if we'll add more again this year. I've got potted plants, but we do grow as much as we can on the little space that we have. So just because we don't live on a homestead with 3+ acres or anything, you can still grow some of your own food, some of the herbs, just to not have to buy everything from a store or always from a farmer, that you can sustain your own family with food from your own backyard. So this month will be that, and hopefully learning to make things like kefir or yogurt or your own sourdough bread. So each month will be kind of featuring a different product that if anybody local wants to kind of join me with learning anew or beginning again for me sometimes, because can't always keep up with the kefir or the kombucha and I fall off and got to get back up again, which is why I'm the Rustic Homesteader.
That's perfect. Wow. You are a busy lady.
I guess so.
Yeah.
You know, it's easier if you just keep moving.
Yes, yes.
You know, when you sit down, it gets too comfortable. So you just got to keep moving.
Yeah, that Rolling Stone gathers no moss theory.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah, it's so funny because I keep talking to people with this format, and people say things, and these sayings keep popping into my head that I haven't thought of in years, and I say them, and then later I listen back, and I'm like, where did that come from?
That's great. Whenever I say things like that, I mix up the words and say them wrong, and my husband catches me every time. I used to say, nip it in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
My husband's like, that's not right. It's not nip it in the butt. Nip it in the bud. I was like, oh, okay. So he knows all of, I always call him an old man. He knows all those old man sayings.
Yes.
Or just probably just normal sayings, but I never get them right.
I think I get all my sayings that are stored in the back of my brain from my parents. I think that's where they came from to begin with, I'm sure. So, so you were saying if anyone wants to come along with you on this learning journey, so do you mean literally come and have you teach them or just through what you show them?
No, I would love to do that. And if I had a storefront one day, that would be my hope, is to have classes, to learn that kind of stuff. I just know so many people around me that are experts in those areas too. That would come teach, or I could teach, but no, for right now it's more just getting the kit with the information in it and what to do with it, because it's really not always that hard. Mm-hmm. I think things are overcomplicated, and do you make kefir or kombucha or anything like that?
No, I do not.
One day, it's good for your gut. It's very healthy stuff.
Yeah.
But it's very simple. It's literally just like sourdough, really. It's just feeding it.
Mm-hmm.
It's pouring milk over kefir grains or feeding tea and sugar to your kombucha scoby. So they're really simple things that I just think if more people knew about, and it doesn't have to be so scary to be a homesteader. In the city, obviously. We're not homesteading on acreage with animals just yet.
Yeah. I was going to say, you do not have to be, you don't have to be on acreage to be a homesteader. Homesteading is the practice of it. It's
right.
The things that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We were not homesteaders 4 years ago because not in the classic acreage animals idea of it. We lived in town on a very small lot, and we grew vegetables, and I crocheted things, and I cooked from scratch. And honestly, that came more from a need to make our dollars stretch than it did to learn new skills. But it was all homesteading skills, so
we
just carried over when we moved here. We were like, oh, mm-hmm. we know what we're doing, finally, yay.
Yeah, for sure. I think... Yeah, I think if you practice, that was always kind of my goal too, was if I ever wanted to actually live on acreage and really live this homestead life, I really should be doing it now. Why would I wait to start growing things? Why would I wait to start cooking from scratch? It's healthier. I need to start that now. And I do think we overcomplicate cooking a lot more often than not as well, when really just a piece of meat and some vegetables and a slice of sourdough bread is just fine. It doesn't have to be some overcomplicated meal either. We save that for celebrations.
Yeah. My husband and I keep going around a little bit about food because he would be perfectly happy eating a slab of meat and some kind of potato every day.
Right. Yeah.
And I cannot do that. It ruins me. I don't sleep good. It hurts my belly. I don't like it.
Really?
And so for me, every time we do grocery shopping, I buy some frozen vegetables and throw them in the freezer. And that way I can at least get some kind of vegetable into meat.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We have vegetables at every meal.
Yeah. And he loves steak. And we bought a half beef a year or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And And I'm not that impressed with this particular animal that we bought. And
Oh
he's like, it's beef. And I'm like, it's not as good as
no.
the beef we bought 3 years ago. And
There's a difference on whether or not it's been grain finished or it's been eating grain its whole life, grass fed, grass finished. I've gone through a few farmers now. The first one that I used told me it was grass fed, grass finished, and then upon doing more research, it clearly he does that's not how he does the rest of his animals. So it was very unlikely, and then you could definitely tell by the taste, the texture, that it was not. So there is definitely a difference. I never thought I would be. It would be so obvious, but when you put them side by side, you can definitely tell.
So we have all this beef we need to eat. And I'm so sick of it. I'm so over it. And I'm actually making burgers tonight out of some of it. And the burgers are okay because I can put ketchup and mustard and relish on it and it's okay. But the steaks are terrible, and I'm not going to say who we got it from because I
Well,
don't
no,
want
that.
to discourage anyone from buying from them. They might love it. I don't.
Right.
And so it's been, I've been like, we're doing meatless dinners twice a week because I cannot keep doing this. And so I will make a marinara sauce and we'll have pasta and marinara sauce one night. And then there's something else that I make that doesn't have meat in it. And he's like, but, and I'm like, no, there's no buts. You get
Oh,
to have
yeah.
meat 5 nights out of 7.
I
I
try to
can't.
get as much protein in us as we can. So
Yeah, and the thing is,
there's no such thing as meatless nights in my house. I don't know that my husband would go for that either.
and the thing is, it's not that I hate meat, it's just that I'm tired of it. And it's also February, almost March, and we've been eating the same dinners for 3 months now because it's been wintertime.
I
And
think it is definitely ready for spring. I think everybody's ready for that for sure.
yeah, I get to the end of February and I'm like, oh, I need fresh veggies, I need fresh greens, I need green, I need it to be spring. And it spills over into my dissatisfaction with food every end of February. So it's no surprise. However, I want to do more research into whoever we buy the next half beef from.
That is definitely important and helpful. Do you have, or is it, was it near you that you were talking to that other person on the podcast about their resources and their resource list?
Oh yeah. I know a
This
couple different
local.
places I can talk with, but I just want to make sure that the next one that we spend, oh, it might even be $2,000 by the time we get to it. It was like 1,500 last time.
Yeah, it's not cheap, but that's also where I buy beef in bulk from one of the farmers that I have, which then gets reduced pricing because of that. When you buy in bulk, it's actually cheaper. Even though you're putting out more money at that time. And so that gives people around me in my North County marketplace discounts on the meat as well, because I buy it in bulk and put it in freezers, and then they buy weekly.
Yeah, I think we might be smarter this time and just do a quarter because we don't really need a half with
As
three of us
much,
here. Yeah.
right.
But either way, we're stuck with it. It's getting eaten down, and there are ways to dress it up and make it taste better, which is fine because both my husband and I and my son cook, so it's fine. I'm not really that impressed with this particular purchase that we made, not knowing what we were getting. So
Right. All
next time we'll know.
important to know your farmers, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the first half that we got was fantastic. Loved it. And we still have a little bit of that left too. So I keep
Wonder
saying,
what happened.
oh, different place,
Oh, a different place. Oh,
different
okay.
farm, different butchers, different everything. And I keep saying to my husband, do we have any of the first half that we bought left? And he's like, I'll look. So, and when I'm going to eat it and I want to enjoy it, that's the stuff I want. If I'm not really going to eat it, or I'm only going to eat a piece, it's like, eh, just get whatever's in the freezer. So, but food is important. Like food is a thing, at least at dinner time. that you sit down to and want to enjoy after whatever day you've put in.
Oh, yeah.
And so when we cook and it's not great, I'm just so sad. I'm like, eh, it wasn't that great.
I love food. Absolutely love it. Like I said, I grew up in a house where my dad he's such an amazing cook. And like he will do for our parish. He does, he was auctioning off dinners, that people were paying thousands of dollars for to have a sit down meal for him to cook at. And so I don't want to say I'm a food snob, because that sounds bad, but I do like good quality food and well-made food. Mm-hmm. So not to say that mine's not. It's definitely, I'm nowhere near where my father is in cooking and how to make things, but I do like a well-put-together meal. So it can't happen every night of the week, though. I save those for more celebratory days. But I also think just throwing a chicken in the oven with some seasoning on it and roasting it tastes great.
Oh, yeah.
With a side, you know, of potatoes and, you know, broccoli or green beans or something like that. So it's not always, you know, celebratory meals. But
yeah, absolutely. And when I was a kid, I was terribly picky. I was a skinny, skinny girl. Basically, until I learned to cook on my own, you know, how to cook. And I'm still a skinny girl because I just food. I do not live to eat. I eat to live.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm going to cook, I really want it to be, I've called it a Zen experience. Cooking for me is being focused on one singular task until it is finished. And I don't get to do that very often. I love the podcast for the same reason. When I sit down to talk with you or whoever I'm interviewing, I am in front of my computer for at least half an hour, and all I'm doing is focusing on what we're talking about.
Yeah.
At any other point in time,
I'm actually sitting in my car right now so that there are zero distractions to be able to talk to you.
Yeah. And I feel like in 2024, there are so many distractions, and it doesn't even really matter what the distraction is. Mm-hmm. Like, when I get done talking to you, I am going to go get some food because I tend to not eat before I do interviews. And then I have dishes to do and laundry to fold and a podcast edit that has to go out tomorrow and just stuff. And so every morning, if I have an interview scheduled at 10 a.m., I'm like, okay, I'm going to get up at 6. I'm going to drink my coffee. I'm going to watch the news. I'm going to scroll through Facebook because there'll be more people I can find to talk to. I'm going to check stuff. And then at 10 a.m., I'm going to go sit at my desk in front of my computer and talk to somebody interesting for at least half an hour. And that's all I'm doing.
Well, I hope I was interesting enough then.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone I've talked to has been interesting.
I listened to a few of yours. It was definitely, they're definitely enjoyable to listen to.
Yeah. The guy that I'm the interview tomorrow, he has a very Southern accent and he is very passionate about what he's doing, and he's loud. And when I listened to the interview back, it was really loud. Like, he was twice as loud as I was. And I'm like, oh no. And I have a thing when I export it that lets me normalize the audio sound, the volume. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Lord, let it work. Please let it work.
That's awesome.
And I went back after it was normalized, and it's now listenable because he's loud. And that's fine. He's very excited about his project, and I want people to be passionate about what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize how loud he was until I listened to it back. I was like, oh, no one's going to listen because it's loud.
Oh.
So I think it's fixed, I think. But we'll see tomorrow if people are like, no, I'm not listening to this because it's too noisy. We'll see.
I'll let you know. Mm-hmm. I'll listen.
Okay, cool. Okay. So anyway, we're rambling. We stopped talking about North County Marketplace 25 minutes ago.
That's all right.
But anyway, it's 44 minutes and 17 seconds in, so I'm gonna wrap this up. Suzanne, I really appreciate you talking with me today, and you are doing a wonderful thing.
Well, thank you. It was enjoyable talking with you as well. And I look forward to hearing more about what you do.
Yes, let's get that on the books for like
for sure.
April. How's April?
That sounds great. That
All
sounds
right, great. Cool. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mary Lewis.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.